Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are. You are.
Tom Barrow.
And now, Tom Farinella.
A case of missing 12-year-old Magdalena Lubowska is taking twists and turns. Yesterday, Aiden Hedges said that the little girl was suicidal and a special needs child. Meantime, no one would answer the door at the Hedges' home yesterday, despite an army of attorneys, investigators in the DA's office, and the media all camped outside. Joining us now in the WLVL Newsline, we have Tom Farinella, one of the attorneys in this case for the Lubowski family. And good morning, Tom.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Thank you for joining us. This is such a tragic situation.
The following issues and concerns for you and your family. If you're having difficulty paying credit card bills, you or anyone you know need a criminal lawyer,
bring us up to date about what you're doing to help the Lubowska family.
Call me. If you have a child support custody issue,
I'm working with my brother's firm.
I'm Thomas Farinella. I have a full service law
plus a debt relief agency. His firm is the lead in this case, and I'm an associate, and I work with him. I have my own practice as well, but he asked me to come in to help out. So what happened was my brother was extraordinarily concerned because
www.law.caf.com. We are available 24 hours a day. We have weekend and evening appointments. Call today and seek resolution.
And my brother took an interest in it right away because they were distraught. They were getting no information at first. They were barely even informed. The most outrageous thing that I found to be was that they were not even contacted by the people that they entrusted their daughter to.
You or anyone you know,
the camp, the Hedges.
Call me.
Renaissance House representative. No one contacted these poor people.
Hi,
and so what happened was when the friend reached out to my brother, he took on the case, he vowed to the family that we will get justice for this girl if in fact that's what's necessary. And we will find her and recover her body
if
God forbid she is gone or get to the bottom of what happened. So he came in really to answer your questions and to be a voice for these poor people.
We serve Metro New York and Long Island with offices in Manhattan and Queens.
Well, the father has limited English. And so what happened was they were down in Brooklyn. They were hundreds of miles away. And they were beside themselves.
Oh, I bet they were. What is your...
And now, Tom Farinella.
That little Magdalena was suicidal and a special needs child. That's shocking.
Well, it is shocking, and what from my
the case of missing 12-year-old Magdalena Lubowska keeps taking twists and turns. Yesterday, Ava Hedges said that the little girl was suicidal and a special needs child. Meantime, no one would answer the door at the Hedges' home yesterday, despite an army of attorneys, investigators from the DA's office, and the media all camped outside. Joining us now on the WLVL Newsline, we have Tom Farinella, one of the attorneys in this case for the Lubowska family. And good morning, Tom.
Good morning to you, Doug.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Thank you for joining us. This is such a tragic situation, I think, being made even worse by the Hedges' unwillingness to cooperate in the investigation. Bring us up to date about what you're doing to help the Lubowska family.
Well, I'm working with my brother's firm, which is the law offices of Gus Michael Farinella. His firm is the lead in this case, and I'm an associate, and I work with him. I have my own practice as well, but he asked me to come in to help out. And so what happened was my brother was extraordinarily concerned because a friend of his came to him with this case. This was the friend's family. And my brother took an interest in it right away because they were distraught. They were getting no information at first. They were barely even informed. And the most outrageous thing that I found to be was that they were not even contacted by the people that they entrusted their daughter to at the camp. The Hedges, the Renaissance House, not a representative, no one contacted these poor people. And so what happened was when the friend reached out to my brother, he took on the case, and he vowed to the family that we will get justice for this girl if, in fact, that's what's necessary. And we will find her and recover her body if God forbid, she is gone, or get to the bottom of what happened here. So he came in really to answer your question, to come in and to be a voice for these poor people. The mother does not speak English very well, and the father has limited English. And so what happened was they were down in Brooklyn. They were hundreds of miles away, and they were beside themselves.
Oh, I bet they were. What is your reaction, your brother's reaction, to Eva Hedges' claim that little Magdalena was suicidal and a special needs child? That's shocking.
Well, it is shocking, and what, from my standpoint, I am a criminal defense attorney in my normal practice. So investigating cases from the other side is what I know. So being on the side I'm on at this point, I have the bird's eye view of both sides. And with that being said, it seems to me that if Eva Hedges had information from the child that she was potentially suicidal, or she was making those kinds of statements or talking in that tone, it's even more indicative of the lack of appropriateness that was taken here, because she should have not let that child out of her sight. At that point, once the child made such a proclamation, she should have contacted the parents, she should have contacted the police, or EMS, or taken her to a hospital, or done something proactive to deal with this issue. Apparently, Mrs. Hedges is a teacher of 40 years, so she should have known how to deal with this situation appropriately, not let this child go out onto a trail in one of the world's worst rivers. And the fact of the matter is,
not worst rivers, but most dangerous rivers.
Yeah, that's more appropriate. I'm sorry. You know what? I've been nonstop. I've been here in Niagara since Monday. I haven't slept very much, and we're working around the clock. And
well, you're absolutely right. I mean, to have children down there without any supervision. Timothy Hedges, a 23-year-old guy, no experience as a tour guide, leading 23 kids down the gorge. That's a disaster waiting to happen, even if you stay on the trail. To let them venture 500 feet off the trail and go close to the water, look what happened to Magdalena. She goes up on a rock, slips into the water, and now she's gone. Describe the scene yesterday outside the Hedges' home. Talk about a media circus.
Well, I had gone there originally. My intention was to go there, and I had to interview a witness in the area with regard to our investigation. We're calling it our criminal investigation, because right now that we're trying to figure out what happened. The facts of that day are unclear to us at this point. And it's, of course, you know, the police and the authorities have to take the appropriate measures of putting up their barriers, and we're going to have to communicate with their lawyers, but we needed to speak to witnesses. So I was going over in that area. My brother was working on something else back here at the hotel. So Martha Lebowski, who is the sister of
the little girl's aunt.
Yeah, Magda's father wanted to come, and another family friend who is with the family wanted to come as well, and they wanted to go up and speak to her because they felt that since this incident has occurred, these people have not even mentioned, not even sent, you know, a note through a representative or any sort of communication saying, that they were heartbroken and they were.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They wouldn't even answer the door. And Tom, unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us. We'll keep following the story with your help, and have a great day. There he is, Tom Farinella, one of the attorneys in this case for the Lebowska family on Hometown 1340 WLVL.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are. You are.
Tom Farinella.
And now, Tom Farinella.
Well, global warming. What's global warming? I'm confused, ladies and gentlemen. Is the Earth warming? Are we warming? Oh, I feel warm. I feel warm right now where I am. Top secret broadcast studio, somewhere in New York City. That's right, somewhere in New York City. We have to keep it top secret. Boy, oh boy, I probably have many hit lists. Anyway, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Farinella here. Welcome to the most intriguing broadcast in America, the Tom Farinella Show, broadcasting live from New York City. Does that mean anything anymore? Oh, my, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we're so filled. Does that make sense? We're so filled. Or how about the media tries to fill us with these notions or this notion that the world, the Earth is warming, and that we need to respond to that warming by being eco-friendly. Well, anybody that has lived on this very day in the Northeast, especially where I am, in New York, that's right, New York City. We had 7 inches of snow. That's right. On March 2nd, 2009, we had 7 inches of snow. According to the Associated Press, a massive late winter snowstorm pummeled the Northeast on Monday, grounding hundreds of flights, causing spinouts on highways, delaying trains and buses, and closing school for over a million children from South Carolina to Maine. Ah, the same storm hammered the Southeast on Sunday as it made its way north, blanketing Civil War statues and canceling hundreds of church services around the region. By Monday, the storm was dumping snow on Maine, and most areas in the storm's wake expected to see at least 8 to 12 inches of accumulation. The blizzard, like snow together with sleet, freezing rain, and wind gusts of up to 30 miles per hour, contributed to 4 deaths on roads in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and on New York's Long Island, which is not too far from me. An accident caused a 15-mile traffic jam in North Carolina, where as much as a foot of snow fell, and prompted police and rescuers to go car to car Monday to check on the stranded motorists. The storm was blamed for 350 crashes in New Jersey between Sunday night and Monday morning, State Police Sergeant Stephen Jones said. Most were spinouts and cars hitting guardrails, he said. On New York's Long Island, high winds caused 2-foot snowdrifts on highways in the town of Southampton. In New York City, about 7 inches of snow was recorded in Central Park on Monday. Wow. That is absolutely remarkable.
It really is. If you would like to join the chat session, that's up and running. If you'd like to give us a call here at the Tom Farinella Show, you can call us 347-326-9037. We'll take your call. We'll put you on the air. But if you think the world's warming, I need to know. If you think the world is warming, I want to hear about it. Because it's late at night, and when I was in college, actually before then, high school, my only dream in life, my real true dream was to have an overnight radio show. Of course, to get paid for it, but let's say we're accomplishing half of a dream tonight. We'll be joined every evening from 12:30 to 2:30. You don't have to listen to the people who talk about space aliens and things like that. Listen to the Tom Farinella Show. We'll bring you we can wrap up, be the first broadcast of your new day. That's right. We can wrap up what happened the day before and talk about what's going to happen in the day ahead. So anyhow, when I was shoveling the snow this morning, I was caught between two. I was surprised because I've been told by so many different people, ABC, CBS, NBC, Al Gore, who else? The usual suspects. Even John McCain at one point, when he tried to sell himself to the Democrats, which is a disaster, we were told that the war, the Earth, Mother Earth, she is a warming. All right? All right. Mother Earth is warming. Well, if you lived where I am and in the places that I talked to you about in the story, I don't know how many people you'll be able to convince that the Earth is warming. Matter of fact, a college admissions coordinator in Manhattan, Diane Lugo, 29, had to leave her two children with her mother-in-law rather than drive them to daycare. She got a ride with her husband to avoid trudging 10 minutes in the slush to her bus stop. Getting out of the driveway was pure hell, she said. So, I mean, and this story goes for two more pages. In Fairfax, Virginia, Sarah, 48, said Monday's day off was just what she'd been hoping for and planned to make a snowman or play in the snow with my friends. Now, I used to live near Fairfax, Virginia. As a matter of fact, I lived there for, about 7 years. And in the time that I lived there, there was one or two, but we had one major snowstorm that shut down Washington, D.C. I think you might have remembered it. That was because the competent crack-using Mayor Marion Barry only had, like, three snowplows for the whole District of Columbia. So I guess back then Marion Barry knew about global warming, so he didn't get any snowplows, and I guess as a result there was no ability to plow snow. But nevertheless, the whole city was shut down. But really, that was it, just one. And now here we have another one. But there was never one in March. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, because I was back at school. We had ones before we left school. We had ones when we had a snowstorm when we got back from school and maybe delayed school, but we never had one in March. We're in March.
That's right.
We are in March. March Madness and all that. But the point is, I don't think the Earth is warming any more than Hillary Clinton will not be in the United States for the next 4 years. And, you know, I can't even, where do I begin? Where do I begin? If you just joined us, it's the Tom Farinella Show, the most intriguing broadcast in America. What do we have coming up? Well, coming up on the program, we just discussed how global warming is or isn't. I say it isn't. Also, you heard an interview at the top of the show, mixed in with some other things. It's an excellent broadcast engineer who's being paid high, lots of money. His name is Colby. Colby the broadcast engineer screwed that up. Thanks, Colby. Anyway, there was the interview that was played at the top of the show was my radio interview that I did while I was up in Niagara Falls over the summer, because a young girl had gone missing and my brother's law firm had been retained to, well, not retained, but we weren't retained. But anyway, he represented the Lebowski family, and we were up there trying to ascertain what happened to the little girl. So I am a lawyer in the media as well. So I have some interviews there. I think there's another one surfacing somewhere. I have to find it. And that brings me on to the next point, which is on February 25th, I was quoted in the Wall Street Journal newspaper because a client of mine is in the middle of what I call being scapegoated by the United States federal government. And what do I mean by that? The mortgage crisis is on everybody's back burner to an extent because the market is volatile. You have the Obama nation. Now, I was calling him the Obama nation, not like Obama. I'm calling it literally the Obama nation, as in the Obama slash nation, because that's what we're becoming now. We're going to become an empire ruled by dictator Obama. We're getting there. Well, we're getting there. We're very close to there. And they're licking their chops. Oh, they're salivating, all the Democrats. Congressman Charles Rangel from New York. Harlem, New York, even though I write the tax laws. I write the tax laws. And despite the fact that I write the tax laws, and I'm the number one man, other than Mr. Geithner, who's in charge of enforcing the tax laws, I'm allowed to violate the tax laws and keep my seat in Congress and keep my chairmanship of the Ways and Means Committee and participate in President Obama's speech, what do you call it, his seminar that talked about the problems with the IRS. So I have an in-depth understanding of what is wrong with the tax law, but only as to Congress people, like my good friend Senator Daschle. Who else? Mr. Geithner, half of the other nominees for the Obama administration. That's right. And I don't have to follow the law because I'm Charles Rangel. And I am a very powerful Democrat. And I'm a Democrat, so I don't have to follow the law. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he was actually... I don't know if any of you listened to this
or saw this, but Obama did, in fact, have a seminar. A seminar in the White House, or wherever it was. And he had all these participants and broke them up in group work. And it reminded me of when I was in law school. We had this teacher who taught us a course on professional responsibility. But I know if any of you listening out there who know me, never mind. Anyway, professor, is it proper to say her name? Probably not. But anyway, this professor wore the hippie dresses, you know, those like psychedelic colored tie-dye skirts or frocks or blankets, sheets, whatever the heck you want to call it. She wore the big beads, and she was just like, oh, peace and love. And really, she did epitomize what a flower child was. But she used to break us up in group work. And I used to say to them, where the hell did she get this? And we're law students, for God's sakes. And many of my other colleagues in the class would look at me, and we would all agree that we're law students in group work. Are you kidding me? And there he is, the greatest man alive, the king of the world, President Obama, breaking high-ranking members of the Washington elite up into groups and giving them group work. What a joke. What a waste of taxpayer dollars. And what's going to happen here is everybody is so invested in Barack Obama because of a story that there's very little that you're going to be able to discern that is wrong with his administration. But we'll get into all that. We have 2 hours here. Join the chat. Give us a call. 347-326-9036. I have to update the website information, the blog and whatnot. We'll get back into that. By the way, we've been here for a year now on the show on blogtalkradio.com for a full year. Anyway, getting back to my story, my client's being scapegoated by the fact that the government has raised this perception that the mortgage crisis has happened because of the free market. People within the free market, people within the private sector have exploited the poor and underprivileged, for the poor. And as a result of the exploitation, they have benefited while these poor people have been robbed of their homes. All right. Where do we begin? So the reporter from the Wall Street Journal contacted me. I gave him some comments for the story. And what I'll do is, I usually don't do this with other stories I read, but this is my story. So I also have the comments that is on the Wall Street Journal. Which, it's interesting, it's a mix. Anyway, in 2003, the title of the article is "When Eviction Means When Rescue, Quote Unquote Rescue Means Evictions." And if you saw the article when it was published, it was in this ridiculous, it was this ridiculous picture of a boat or whatever it was, but it was big. In 2003, Daphne Webb, a 73-year-old mother of nine, had a heart attack, quit her cleaning job, and was soon struggling with medical bills. She and her husband fell behind on the mortgage payments on their clapboard house in Montclair, New Jersey. The problem, everything came down all at once, says her husband, William, whose $45,000 a year income as a bus driver wasn't enough to keep the family financially afloat. By 2006, the Webbs were facing foreclosure. When two real estate investors offered to purchase their house, rent it to them, and then help them buy it back using a long-established practice known as a sale-leaseback, the Webbs say they jumped at the opportunity. In doing so, the poor, elderly couple waded into the murky water, murky world of quote-unquote foreclosure rescue, a business that targets the growing numbers of distressed homeowners seeking help. In some cases, according to the recent warnings by authorities, there you go. According to the recent warnings by authorities. Well, who's the authority? Oh, Chuck Schumer? Wow. Chris Dodd? Charlie Rangel? The Congressional Black Caucus? Can't say that. Can't say that. In some cases, according to recent warnings by authorities, homeowners can dig themselves into an even deeper hole by dealing with purported rescuers while doing little to ward off eviction. That statement right there is not true. Now, Mr. Shiskin, I know we spoke, and I know we had many conversations, but rereading it actually right now at this point, I've come to the conclusion, while reading it again for the sixth time, that's just not true. Not true at all. As a matter of fact, it's completely not true. It's the opposite. What went on in my client's case warded off foreclosure, eviction. Instead of saving homes, these federal officials, and they have warned distressed homeowners can sometimes lose them along with any savings they had. Ha! You know, the problem here is, having been inside the story, the guy, Mr. Shiskin, is a nice guy. Yeah, I'd probably go out and have a beer with the guy, sit down with him. He's up there in Boston, running around Boston. Would love to go up there and have a beer with Mr. Shiskin. I think it would be fantastic. However, this is barely scratches the surface of what went on. Here we go. People are distressed and willing to consider things they were never willing to consider before, says Bradley Elbine, national contributor, coordinator of the Federal Trade Commission's Foreclosure Rescue Fraud Project. It's a real problem. Many rescuers use sell leaseback arrangements, while others charge homeowners a one-time fee to help them negotiate with creditors. Sale leasebacks are common and are legal practice in real estate. To raise cash for short-term needs or to secure tax benefits, a company can sell a building it owns and then pay rent to the buyer and stay in it. A strategy was particularly attractive before the economic crisis, when credit was easy to obtain and investors believed real estate prices would keep climbing. Some leaseback agreements allow sellers the option to repurchase the property at a later date. Well, the problem you have here is that he's talking about some when the basic concept of a sale leaseback is that the homeowner shouldn't enter into the transaction unless there's some sort of lease in place, some sort of agreement in place, rather, to ensure that they are able to get their home back or purchase their home back at some point. So I don't know. It's not some. It should be. That's the point of them. In residential real estate, a sale-leaseback can allow a homeowner in financial trouble to remain in their home and pay off their debt. But investors say the strategy is susceptible to fraud when investors don't give homeowners the promised money. Some investors pocket the mortgages they obtain from banks or strip equity from the homes they buy instead of helping former owners get back on their feet. The Webbs allege in a civil lawsuit filed in New Jersey Superior Court they were defrauded into giving up title to their home and lost $400,000 in home equity and $10,000 in fees paid to two investors. Now, through their attorney, or through an attorney, any wrongdoing was denied by his clients, and they said, they prevented the Webbs from being evicted when they were in trouble in 2006. And, of course, the attorney declined to discuss specifics of the Webb's allegations. The case is currently awaiting trial. So I can't get into the specifics of the allegations. That's why I'm specifically analyzing the article. If you look at the next couple of paragraphs, he gives you some examples of bad sale leasebacks, like in Tampa, Florida, which charged Mario Quiroz and Jose Oliveri with wire fraud and money laundering stemming from sale leasebacks. Most of the homeowners ended up being evicted and lost any equity they held. They were accused of defrauding banks. Right, because what happened was what happens here in a sale leaseback is that you have a house, you haven't paid your mortgage, in let's just say a year. Bad economy, times are tough, you can't pay your mortgage. So So now the bank comes knocking on the door. Okay, homeowner, it's time to put up or shut up. You either can pay us our money, or get out. We want the property back. Oh, Webb say. No, we can't do this. Well, they can. Okay, folks, they can. So rather than have the bank take the house from them, the Webbs find a third-party investor. The investor takes the house, purchases the home, and he's supposed to pay off the mortgage, which in this case my client did. The mortgage was paid and satisfied. So the outstanding mortgage that the Webbs have defaulted on and that has been accelerated is no longer in existence because it's paid off. Now, the problem is you get into questions of issues. It's the value of homes. What was the home worth? Let's just say this. If there was any money that the Webbs were entitled to, it was eaten up. Okay, their equity was eaten up on the day that the bank filed for foreclosure. Once a house ends up in foreclosure, it's now a distressed property. And the market is not willing to pay as much as it would if the house was not distressed. So the subject of equity is speculative at best, if at all, depending upon the numbers. But what the federal government has done is it's taken guys like this. Now, there may be some dishonest guys who aren't paying off the mortgage to the house. What they're doing is they're taking the money and leaving these distressed homeowners with the mortgage. That's not what's happening here. In this case, what's happening is that in the article, the Webb's mortgage has been paid off. Now they're, because they couldn't afford to pay it. But somebody came and bought it, and the person that came and bought it said, you could have 2 years, whatever the time period was. It's a time period. And you just have to buy back the house. Now, Webbs have to pay some rent. It was $4,600, I guess, according to the rental agreement. The Webbs were only charged $2,600. Webbs haven't paid rent in some time. They're still living there. The Webbs were about to lose their home. The thing about lawsuits is the ultimate goal is to put people back in the position where they would have been had not a person breached their contract or whatever the issue is. They have to be put back in the same position. So if the Webbs want to be put back in the same position as they were in 2004 and you want to take everything back, well, then the Webbs would have lost their home a long time ago. But now what they're trying to do here is they're trying to say, oh, this guy that came in and saved my home really didn't save my home. He stole it. Well, if it weren't for him, you wouldn't have had a home from 2004 till present. And that's because the federal officials, the federal authorities, the federal government, the Federal Trade Commission, and whatever bunch of morons who are part of the federal government are trying to tell the whole world, don't do it. The private sector will use you, abuse you, and spit you out. We're the only ones who can help proper government. That's where Barack Obama comes in. That's where Charlie Rangel comes in. Chris Dodd. Chuck Schumer, Barney Frank, that's where they come in and try to convince you that people are being taken advantage of by the private sector, not true. People are being taken advantage of by thieves, not the private sector. Anyway, Mr. Webb says he and his wife didn't fully understand what they were signing. Tom Farinella, an attorney who represents Mr. Losner and Ms. Azram, said the Webbs were told to consult an attorney about the paperwork, but they didn't. For the Webbs to now claim they are victims of some large-scale scheme begs to differ with the fact that they were adequately advised to retain counsel, says Mr. Farinella. And that's that. It is true. These people refuse to get counsel. And there's a lot of other stuff. But the point of it is, the reason why I wanted to talk to you about this is because it's another pathetic example of how the federal government and the news reports about what's happening in the private sector couldn't be more misleading. They couldn't be more wrong. And nobody's picking up on it. Nobody's picking up on it. Nobody has anything to say about it. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. There are other things here in the story, but it's all allegations. Now, getting into the comment section, there are a couple brutal comments, but we won't talk about that. But remember, I told you that the Webbs had 9 children. Well, Lee Phelps asks, where were their 9 children to give support or at least advice? Perhaps that would have been smart. Here's the interesting comment that I found to be, they apparently didn't know what they were signing if they received no cash from a transaction where they had a house appraised at $800,000 and a mortgage of $400,000 for merely the privilege of renting back their home. I hope the investors end up in jail. Yes, they should have probably ended up being renters, but with $400,000 of savings from an actual sale of the house. Okay. Sad story of simple people that were taken advantage of. One more example. And not everyone is qualified to make a debt finance purchase worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. I earned an MBA to CFA charter I still find many aspects of real estate law and financing intimidating. Ignorance is not bliss when you're dealing with your financial future. Maybe attempt to help their kids? Probably stupid given their overall financial circumstances, but it sounds like they already had a tough life anyway, as he was still working as a bus driver and she'd still been working as a maid in their 70s. Are you kidding me? Now, this is a prime example of financial ignorance of the average American. Simply acknowledging you don't understand and seeking counsel can go a long way. Well, you see, the problem here is that what I apparently said didn't matter because the response here should have been, well, the lawyer's right. The Webbs were advised to go see an attorney, and they didn't. And so now they're claiming ignorance. Income of $45,000, $150,000 clapboard house, $400,000 equity, $800,000 sale, $2,600 a month rental. Is this new math or am I just plain stupid? I don't know what that means. That's the current math. In the next 3 years, all the zeros in that will disappear. The better question is why they had a $400,000 mortgage on a home that they had owned since 1983. I feel a lot less sorry for them when you realize that they apparently had been using their house like an ATM machine. Oh! Can't say that! I think we are missing the real story here. Husband is a bus driver making $45,000. And wife had a job doing cleaning, and they have a $400,000 mortgage debt on an $800,000 house. Isn't this a prime example of people living way beyond their means? Oh, can't say that. Phil Shiskin, did you write that? No. Don't get me wrong. There are plenty of vultures out there taking advantage of people who are struggling through these times. But I think you picked the wrong subject for us to feel any pity for. Bingo! As Oprah would say, you know what she says? He's here, Tom Cruise. I would say, Neil Rogers has it right. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here to tell you that because the case is my case, it's an active case, I cannot get into the specifics. I will not get into the specifics. But another one of my points here tonight, don't always read, except when it's from me, what you read in the paper. Because obviously people are telling them, oh, well, they stupid decision. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that I have what I need to show and establish that these people were advised to retain counsel. Doesn't mean they should be taken advantage of, but there is an element here. There's an element of misconception on the Webb's part, and this is what's happening in this mortgage crisis. This mortgage crisis is not about, it's not about, ladies and gentlemen, people whose homes are being taken by the federal government because they want to build a fence, or just because the federal government wants to take it, or because banks don't feel like, you know, banks want their home, you know, the mortgages back. Or the banks want the homes back, the property back. This is not happening to these people who are current on mortgages and who have paid their mortgage who don't have a mortgage. These are people who have purchased homes. I don't even know if you can call it purchasing because most of these people, especially in this new foreclosure issue, the foreclosure debate, have just basically occupied the home because there's no money down required, no documents, given a mortgage, and they've just never paid the mortgage. What you're dealing with here, folks, is you're dealing with a bad example. That's right. It's just a bad example. Because at the end of the day, The Webbs were about to lose their home for good in late 2004. And here we are in March of 2009, and the Webbs still are in their home. Do the math. When I come back, I want to tell you about my fantastic conversation with, and I'm going to say the name. You know why I'm going to say the name? Because they pissed me off so bad today, ladies and gentlemen. I want to rant and rave about this company. I've had enough. But the one company I will not rant and rave about, but I can rave about it because it's so fantastic, is, and they're not paying me to say this, is Diet Coke. Also, by the way, do you know Susan Powder? Remember that Stop the Insanity crazy broad who's always so, like, she looked like she was on, literally, on speed. she's on Blog Talk Radio, so, but don't listen to her right now. Listen to me. And Deborah Norville. I think I saw her. Anyway, they're not paying me to say this. Diet Coke, ladies and gentlemen. I especially like the Diet Coke Plus with the vitamins and minerals, but you can only find it in the 16-ounce bottle or the can. So I got to call Diet Coke and see. I got to figure out how to get sponsorship on this thing. But anyway, this is the Tom Farinella Show, blogtalkradio.com. If you want to send the radio show an email, you can send it to the law email right now, tflawyer@gmail.com, tflawyer@gmail.com. And I'll be able to feed your questions there. Once again, this is Tom Farinella, the Tom Farinella Radio Show, right here, blogtalkradio.com. We will be right back right after this. Are any of the following issues of concern to you or your family? If you're having difficulty paying your credit card bills, call me. Do you or anyone you know need a criminal lawyer? Call me. Are you thinking about a divorce? Call me. If you have child support or custody issues, you can call me. Hi, I'm Thomas Farinella, and I have a full-service law firm plus a debt relief agency assisting people going into bankruptcy. Whatever your legal problem is, we can assist you and make sure you know your legal rights. Call me today at 917-806-7053. Or see my website at www.lawtaf.com. That's www.lawtaf.com. Call today and seek resolution. We serve Metro New York and Long Island with offices in Queens and Manhattan. We are available 24 hours a day, and we have weekend and evening appointments. Call 917-806-7053. That's 917-806-7053. And let me help you seek resolution to your legal problems today. Are any of the following issues of concern to you or your family? If you're having difficulty paying your credit card bills, call me. Do you or anyone you know need a criminal lawyer? Call me. Are you thinking about a divorce? Call me. If you have a child support or custody issue, you can call me. Hi, I'm Tom Farinella, and I have a full-service law firm plus a debt relief agency assisting people going into bankruptcy. Whatever your legal problem is, we can assist you and make sure you know your legal rights. Call me today at 917-806-7053 or see my website at www.lawtaf.com. Call today. We are available 24 hours a day, and we have weekend and evening appointments. 917-806-7053. We serve Metro New York and Long Island with offices in Manhattan and Queens. Call 917-806-7053. That's 917-806-7053. Seek resolution today.
And now, Tom Farinella.
Yes, indeed. We're traveling far, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Tom Farinella Radio Show. Welcome back. Yes, it's a little self-promotion. Why not? I haven't gotten paid advertisers just yet. We will have paid advertisers, and when we do, we'll have an even better show. You know what's funny? What's very interesting, just to show you how immune Blog Talk Radio itself, I don't know if anyone is pointing this out, but how immune Blog Talk Radio itself is not to spam mail. I was looking at the messages I've received. I got to figure that one out. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. I got to figure that, that stupid clicking. Let's see. From Naomi Kale. Good day. Please write to my email address. My name is Naomi, a good-looking Liberian girl. I became interested in you after going through your profile, and I wish to continue relationship with you, which, if nature will permit, we have a long way to go. I have a special reason of contacting you, which I will make known to you. Tell you more about myself and send my pictures to you. I will get back to you, back to me. I will like you to get back to me through my email address. Please, ladies and gentlemen. The only problem is I received that on 11/4, 11/5, and 11/6. The same exact message. Does that make sense? Yes, it's spam mail, ladies and gentlemen. One thing about doing a late night radio show. Yeah, Deborah Norville. Downtime with Deborah. So there's some things happening here at Blog Talk Radio. It's a very, very innovative site. Once again, the Tom Farinella Radio Show. If you want. You know, the sad thing about it was I was building an audience at one point, and I'm frustrated because, you know, I just didn't pursue it as much as I should have. The you want to call us 347-326-9037. The chat room is open. And you can go there and chat away. Anyway, so we have another hour coming up. I'm going to take a quick break. I have to take a breather, ladies and gentlemen, because my voice and I have to organize my thoughts. Let's just see. We're going to play a random song. I like doing this because I don't know, because I don't know why. Hold on. The producer engineer, Colby, the broadcast engineer, producer, he's sleeping. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. So hopefully you're not. hopefully you're not. The MP3 files. Okay, let's just find what. Let's see what song this is. Oh, look at that. Deborah Gibson and Jordan Knight. Tom Farinella will be right back, right after this.
I've been so lost lately, I don't really understand, baby, where did I go wrong? I want to talk to you, please call. When will I begin with you, after all that we've been through? I don't think it would be right if we get together for 30 days.
I could
take back all of the things that I said and replace them with simply I love you instead. You didn't want to say goodbye, but you never I never meant to say goodbye. Oh, yeah. Think about the past, baby. Why we couldn't make it last, baby. I know you still have doubts, but I'm gonna prove that we can work things out.
I wanna be sure that you know what you put me through and reveal that you intend to let me down again.
It's clear to me and I can't ignore that I have to give you something I couldn't before. I never meant to say goodbye.
Anything that we would come to be.
Oh, no, I can't smile what I miss.
Why did you wait so long to take me back? It's all the same.
Shaking cold, these hands are meant to hold.
Say to me, with all you gotta keep it strong. Move along, move along, like I know you do. And even when your hope is gone, move along, move along, just to make it through. Yeah.
gotta keep this strong. Move along like I know you do. And even when your hope is gone, move along, just to make it through. When all you gotta keep is strong, move along like I know you do. And even when your hope is gone, move along, just to make it through.
Are any of the following issues a concern to you or your family? If you're having difficulty paying your credit card bills, call me. Do you or anyone you know need a criminal lawyer? Call me. Are you thinking about a divorce? Call me. If you have child support or custody issues, you can call me. Hi, I'm Thomas Farinello, and I have a full-service law firm plus a debt relief agency assisting people going into bankruptcy. Whatever your legal problem is, we can assist you and make sure you know your legal rights. Call me today at 917-806-7053 or see my website at www.lawtaf.com. That's www.lawtaf.com. Call today and seek resolution. We serve Metro New York and Long Island with offices in Queens and Manhattan. We are available 24 hours a day, and we have weekend and evening appointments. Call 917-806-7053. 917-806-7053, and let me help you seek resolution to your legal problems today. Are any of the following issues a concern to you or your family? If you're having difficulty paying your credit card bills, call me. Do you or anyone you know need a criminal lawyer? Call me. Are you thinking about a divorce? Call me. If you have child support or custody issues, you can call me. Hi, I'm Thomas Farinella, and I have a full-service law firm plus a debt relief agency assisting people going into bankruptcy. Whatever your legal problem is, we can assist you and make sure you know your legal rights. Call me today at 917-806-7053 or see my website at www.lawtaf.com. That's www.lawtaf.com. Call today and seek resolution. We are available 24 hours a day. We have weekend and evening appointments. We serve Metro New York and Long Island with offices in Manhattan and Queens. Call 917-806-7053. That's 917-806-7053. Seek resolution to your legal problems today. Are any of the following issues a concern to you or your family? If you're having difficulty paying your credit card bills, call me. Do you or anyone you know need a criminal lawyer? Call me. Are you thinking about a divorce? Call me. If you have a child support or custody issue, you can call me. Hi, I'm Tom Farinella, and I have a full-service law firm plus a debt relief agency assisting people going into bankruptcy. Whatever your legal problem is, we can assist you and make sure you know your legal rights. Call me today at 917-806-7053 or see my website at www.lawtaf.com. Call today. We are available 24 hours a day, and we have weekend and evening appointments. 917-806-7053. We serve Metro New York and Long Island with offices in Manhattan and Queens. Call 917-806-7053. That's 917-806-7053. Seek resolution today.
And now, Tom Farinella.
Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Farinelli here. Most intriguing broadcast in America. I don't know if you can hear Neil. I don't know if you can hear Neil. You weren't able to hear Neil?
No. Here's Tom Farinelli.
Can you hear that? I don't know. Let's see if you can hear this. Oh, we played this already. Sorry. Now I'm just... No, I don't like that song. Nope. No, it's too depressing. Nope. Oh, I just continue like, yeah. That's all fun.
Broken promises. Broken promises.
There you go.
But you don't live in mine. Not the first time, can't you know it? Don't you now? Tell me why it is you own the smile inside. When you break me into nothing, don't you know? It's not like I haven't tried over and over again. Merciful, it took me down. Little and too late. Now I know you're kind. You take it easy, just to please me. Don't you know? It was not like we haven't tried over and over again. Sleepless night, run or run.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, it is I, Tom Farinella. I am your smooth talker when I feel like it. Yes, indeed. Wow. So, have you had enough of Obama just yet? Or have you just resigned to the fact that this is it? We're stuck with him. There's nothing we could absolutely ever do at this point we're stuck for 4 years at least. I guess that's how the liberals felt with what's his name there, W. George W. Bush. Wow. The media has really done a 360 in terms of covering the president. They've become an apologist for the Obama administration, I think, when he falls short. But on a whole, I'm bored. I really am. I'm bored with him. And, you know, when I was doing this show earlier in the year, last year, I was afraid to take a side to some extent because I really – politics in itself is a tricky game because we only have a two-party system, Republicans, Democrats. And that's just – you know, if we were in England or like in Israel – where there's a parliamentary system, you would have to do what's called coalition building, because there are many parties, and as a result, I think I don't know if you have a more stable government or not, but here in America, this two-party system is extraordinarily complicated because the Republicans are also known as moderates or conservatives. And with that being said, it just is. It does not do anybody who calls himself a Republican justice, because I'm not a Republican. I really am not. I probably would say that I vote on 2 to 3 main issues. One being taxes. Two being national defense. Those would be the two issues that I think, or that I look at to be most important when aligning myself with a political affiliation. And the third issue would be less government. You'll never get that on the Democratic side. So by virtue of the fact that they just do not subscribe to any way of thinking that I'm attuned to, or that or ascribe to any way of thinking that appeals to me, they're eliminated. And the Republicans, well, yeah, I guess they. You know, the reason why I guess many conservative Republicans stood behind the president was because he did fare well on two issues. One was defense and taxes, but the third issue of reducing the size of government, he failed miserably. There's no question. He inflated government. He created a huge deficit. I mean, there were significant factors, but on a whole, this guy was never a lock, stock, and barrel conservative. He was a Republican, blue blood, a moderate, stood in the middle of the road with many, many mainstream issues. But on a whole, he really was not a conservative. Ronald Reagan was the last true conservative president we had. The Newt Gingrich Congress of 94 through 2000 was probably the last conservative Congress, the last conservative Congresses we had. And what has happened here is that the Republicans, see, there's a power grab that the Democrats need. It's their bloodline. So they talk about poor people and houses and all that nonsense, and they don't care. They really don't, ladies and gentlemen. They care about power. And how can they attain power? As much power for as long as possible. And that's what we're in the middle of witnessing. The Democrats trying to take back power and keep power for a very long time. And so what they do is they distort their positions by claiming they care for people, when at the end of the day, it really comes down to the fact that they want power. But more importantly, there's this notion that Republicans are akin to being conservatives, and it's not the case. And so what's happened on Capitol Hill is that Republicans have become, or Republicans are, afraid. Everybody is being told that they have to like Obama because he's the first black president. So he has to succeed. No. Why? I didn't get that. I don't understand that. It's not logical. And as a result, the Republicans don't want to say a single thing against him because the few Republicans that are left in Congress don't want to lose their jobs. And it goes to show you how principled Republicans are. They're not. The Republicans are just as less as principled as the Democrats, because the Democrats exploit their positions to the point where they actually try to convince people by bribing them. Whereas Republicans, the moderates, just don't want anybody to not to like them. And what you have here is just complete dismay. The Republican Party is in shambles. And I am about to talk about a situation that's usually very, I hate the word, but I guess it's appropriate. It's not taboo to really discuss other radio hosts, but the host I'm about to discuss is the reason, one of the reasons why I fell in love with broadcasting. And with that being said, if you've heard in the news about Michael Steele, the new chairman of the Republican Party, then you probably heard about his comments pertaining to Rush Limbaugh. Now, let me tell you something about Rush Limbaugh. Unless you listen to the show or have listened to the show longer than 1 minute or 1 hour or have just read about what is said on the show, you really can't formulate an opinion. Because he's not that simple. He is complex. And he's not an evil man. What he is a real hardworking man who has maintained an audience of over 22 million for 20 years. We have a caller calling in. Good evening and welcome to the Tom Farinella Show. How are you? Hello? I don't know. Is the caller there? Oh, no caller. We had a caller for 6 seconds. But the daunting reality is, for those liberals out there that may be listening, Limbaugh is an institution for over two decades. And to accomplish that kind of feat, to accomplish that kind of feat of listening to, of having an audience of over 22 million for over 20 years in radio is unheard of, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a reason why. What Rush does is he gives people like me a voice when everything else is so focused on the agenda of the Democrat Party? Do not be fooled. ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, and the rest of them are nothing more than shills, hacks for the Democrat Party. I've met Rush Limbaugh. I worked in the same station that Rush Limbaugh worked in when he was first starting out, way back in the early 90s. And I've met the man, and he's a very nice man. He's very nice. And Michael Steele went on to say on the D.L. Hughley show, who is D.L. Hughley? I mean, please. I know who he is, but Michael Steele basically tried to dismiss Limbaugh by calling him an entertainer whose show can be incendiary. You know what, folks? Anything out of the mainstream media that doesn't follow its script, or as Rush calls the drive-bys, is incendiary. We are dawning on a day where thought, political thought, is going to be wiped off the face of the earth, because Democrats do not like people who are independent of government and independent of them and who think for themselves, because people are too stupid to do it. And you know what? Limbaugh has echoed the true principles of conservatism since I've been listening to him. And I applaud him. And I look at him as a role model. And he was even human enough to go through some very trying times. But he overcame. Why? Because his audience loves him. Limbaugh's popularity has increased since his OxyContin situation, because people really saw for the first time that he is a human being, that he suffers from what regular people throughout the country suffer from, and he overcame. But that's not why I wanted to bring this topic up. The reason why I'm bringing the topic up is because I've heard Rush defend Michael Steele when Michael Steele was running for was running in Maryland for the United States Senate. Michael J. Fox had put out that ad that Limbaugh took a tremendous amount of heat, the Parkinson's ad, where they said that Limbaugh was mimicking Michael J. Fox and making fun of him. And what he said on his show was this: my parents taught me when I was young, taught me when I was growing up, that you always stood behind people who defended you. You never abandoned people who stood up for you and who defended you against assault. Michael Steele was a candidate for the Senate in Maryland. Michael Steele was on this program. He got airtime on this program to attempt to refute the lies being told by him, by Michael J. Fox, in those famous ads way back when, that were also run against Jim Talent in Missouri. I personally took time to defend Michael Steele and to rip into the substance of those ads. Had him on the show. I went out to Chuck Schumer when Chuck Schumer's former employee stole Michael Steele's private credit report record information and released it. When I went to Washington a couple of years ago for a personal appearance for my station there, WMAL, they arranged for a number of dignitaries to meet me backstage. One of them was Michael Steele, who thanked me very much for coming to his defense. Something happened. Now I'm just an entertainer. Now I'm ugly and my program is incendiary. And then this here is what Rush had to say in an interview with Politico's Politico. Steele called Limbaugh a very valuable conservative voice for our party because he really switched. Because this is what Rush had to say. On Monday, this is from the Politico. On Monday's show, Limbaugh reacted to both to the comment and to the assertion on CBS's Face the Nation by White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel that the radio host is the voice and the intellectual force and energy behind the Republican Party. Limbaugh said, "I am not in charge of the Republican Party, and I don't want to be. I would be embarrassed to say that I am in charge of the Republican Party in the sad sack state that it's in. If I were chairman of the Republican Party, given the state that it's in, I would quit. I might get out the Harry Caray knife because I would have presided over a failure that is embarrassing to the Republicans and conservatives who have supported it and invested in it all these years." And you know what? He's damn right. Those group of spineless wimps on Capitol Hill are buckling like cheap suits, cheap cameras, whatever lame expression you want to use. Why? You know why? They don't want to look like they are going against Obama because he's the first black president. I thought that while I was in D.C., living in D.C. during the Clinton years, that was the worst time of my life. This is starting to become close to that, where only, 2 months in? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a conservative and you believe in the principles that conservatives stand for, it's okay. You don't need to see a psychiatrist. And living here in liberal New York City, I tell everybody where I stand. I've gotten into fights with people because they are so askew in their thinking. It's pathetic. And the biggest problem I have with liberals is not what they, not the fact that they are liberals, but they don't want to hear the other side. And then they cry foul play if the other side has a guy like Limbaugh. Because I guarantee you that not one single member of the Republican Party would be able to hold an audience of 20 plus million for over 20 years. They're all windbags, most of them up there. They don't do anything. They certainly aren't standing up for the constituents they represent. And this is the problem we're having now. Where does that leave us? John McCain was not a conservative and he lost. Bob Dole was not a conservative and he lost. George Bush was not a conservative, he won, but that was because I think people had just been so abused by the Clinton years that they really didn't trust a Democrat with the White House. And he was just a reaction. But like Rush always says, conservatism wins when it's practiced and when it's campaigned. I mean, look at the block of blue dog Democrats in the Congress, some of which who didn't vote for this ridiculous stimulus package. Well, they are living proof that there are conservative districts, and what the Democrats did, they took a couple of guys and took the conservative Republicans who were representing those districts, stole their campaign platform, gave it to the Democrat, and they ran them, and they got a bunch of seats for it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are dawning on a revolution of change that could be so destructive and so permanent that it could wipe us out. And this is not dramatic. The things that this administration is worried about, go so far beyond the pale of important, because they're not. Well, I should say, they go so far beyond the pale of insignificant that it's scary that they're actually considering these issues. That makes you wonder. And what the government's trying to do here is they're trying to grab as much control as possible while they have it. The new Obama tax plan wants to tax people making $250,000 more 40%. 40%. Do the math, ladies and gentlemen. You have to, in order to take home $100,000, you have to make $250,000 in this country. What's happened? Then you have sycophants like Barney Frank running around Capitol Hill complaining that the Republicans are opposing Obama and they shouldn't, when this guy did nothing for 8 years but bash George Bush. And this is a man who was fooling around with prostitutes in his apartment. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with prostitution. If you live in Vegas, not in Washington, D.C., and not if you're a member of Congress. That's okay. Congressman Charlie Rangel, we talked about him before, Democrat, New York. Man is in charge of the most powerful committee in Congress, the House Ways and Means Committee, which is responsible for passing all spending bills. Every single spending bill in the United States House of Representatives begins with the House Ways and Means Committee. That's right. It can only begin in the House Ways and Means Committee. Do you know what kind of power that commandeers? That he has the most powerful seat in the entire Congress. More important than Nancy Pelosi. More important than Dick Durbin and the other moron, the weasel from Las Vegas, Harry Reid, and the minority leaders. This man makes the decisions as to what bills get presented before the committee to go to the floor for a vote to be created as spending bills, and what bills do not. He's involved in some. This is a man who has 3 or 4 rent-stabilized apartments. I am a lawyer in New York City. I told you that. I work in the courts in New York City. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I have seen tenants thrown out of their apartments, their rent-stabilized apartments, because they had another residence somewhere else. Not even coming close to having a second rent-stabilized apartment, and a third and a fourth, and one being used for his house office, for his congressional office. The abuse of power is beyond contempt. And just like the house banking scandal of 1990, wherever it was, when they bounced all those checks and Dan Rostenkowski robbed the post office. Did you know today in Congress they don't use stamps? Did you know that? They do not use postage stamps. What happens now is that if you're a member of Congress, their signature is imprinted where a postage stamp would be because it's supposed to be free. It's basically free letters. Rather than have them have stamps because Dan Rostenkowski stole them all. I'm sure his 401k or pension is underneath his bed when he cashed the stamps in. Then you have the banks where they're about to be nationalized. They want to accept these people's money, the government's money. Watch out. Be prepared to be told what to do. That's what this whole nationalizing banks is all about. The government wants to capture as much control as possible. And what happens is you have a guy like Rush Limbaugh, who is extraordinarily profitable to every radio station that he is on. He drives revenue. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there for 22 years. And he's made a very good living doing it. And I don't fault him for it. I applaud him for it. He's a true capitalist. And the market has kept him alive for 20 years. He's been able to successfully survive in this market for 20 years, which is unheard of. I've been in radio since I'm 16 years old. So for Michael Steele to just say he's an entertainer, he's wrong. His program is deeply rooted in a way of thinking and an effort to try to get people to think the same way. And he's not mistaken about that. He doesn't hide that. He absolutely 100% states that. That's his goal. And so, let me ask you a question. Do you think that MSNBC, CBS, CNN, and all these other cable shows would jump on broadcasting stories about him if he didn't matter? If he was irrelevant? Do you think that? Because if you do, you're wrong. You're right. Well, if you think yes, then you're wrong. But if you think no, then you're right. Yes. The fact is, they put him on there for a reason. Because he's not an entertainer. This man single-handedly revived Hillary Clinton's campaign towards the end when she was dead. Yes, that's right. Rush Limbaugh openly supported Hillary Clinton while she was running for the nomination of President of the United States. And she almost won. She was on life support before Limbaugh came in. And he brought her so close to the line, but yet so far. That I think that if she would have taken the vote to a floor, to the floor of the convention, it was anybody's game. But as usual, the Clintons always have an agenda, and they were able to get a nice deal out of the package, so they folded. In that case, their profitability margin was much, much better. But the point is that Limbaugh is not an insignificant entertainer. he's a very significant voice of the conservative people in this country, not the Republican Party. And what the Democrats are trying to do is they're trying to tie him to the Republicans. And that troubles Rush, not because he's ashamed of being a Republican. Well, he is ashamed of being a Republican because of how far they have fallen from what the principles of the party once was. There are none. There are none. And what do? I'm lost. The only outlet I have is to do this. And I stopped doing it for a while, but I had to start doing it again. Because I'm going nuts. Because I don't feel like I can do anything. Yeah, I can go vote, but when you vote in New York, it's irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant. It's another flaw. The Electoral College. You know, everything's about making everything fair. Fair to what extent, at what cost? Fair isn't fair when the word comes out of a Democrat's mouth. It's not. And we are challenged. We are faced with the challenge of an administration and a group of people that have desperately tried to convince the American people that we are in an economic downturn, everything is going to be disastrous, and the world's going to end almost if we do not subscribe to Obama's policies. Have you ever heard of such nonsense before in your life? But what's going to happen is Obama's policies will be implemented, and we will see the darkest days that this country has ever had. And what will happen is the Republicans will have another chance. And hopefully, this time, they won't blow it. Hopefully this time, they won't drop the ball. But the Republican Party is lost. They are lost at sea, like those poor NFL players. I don't know if you heard, they've been found. But the Republican Party is lost. And they're not getting any steam back anytime soon. And then they get smacked around for the next couple of years if they don't stand up for themselves. You know, one of my biggest criticisms of President Bush was, you know, he allows these people to beat him up, and he doesn't respond. And while I understand that it's beneath him, as President of the United States, it is not beneath the members of Congress to stand up. But they are afraid to. They are afraid to stand up for themselves, mainly because you have these whining little gnats, these annoying morons. We have a call. Good evening. Welcome to the Tom Farinella Show. Hello. We are trying to get the caller.
Did you have a good show?
Good evening. Welcome to the Tom Farinella Show. Nice to have you aboard.
Hello. How's your show going?
Hi. Fantastic.
Oh, that's great. I'm just like actually just tuning in, so I can just can ask me what I think, fill me in, and
what do you think, and where are you calling from?
Toronto.
Toronto. Okay, Canada. That's good. What do you think? What is on your mind?
Oh, I don't know. What are we talking about? Stupid.
What
stuff.
Are we? We've been talking about a lot of different things. One of them being this guy named Obama. You know who he is?
Mm-hmm. I like to know.
Do you know who Barack Hussein Obama is?
I think Dan does. More so. I'm waiting to meet
who?
Him. I'm waiting to fully, like, the old personal meet, you know, thing. But, yeah, I think I know who it is. Obama.
Who's Dan?
Dan, Jesus.
Jesus?
Mm-hmm, yeah, Jesus is with us.
That's true. But what do people in Canada think of Barack Hussein Obama.
Well, if he fixes the world, I like him.
You really think he's going to fix the world?
Yeah, if he comes, works for me.
Well, then he's not going to, he's not able to fix the world for the next 4 years at least, because he's not going to be working for you.
Why is that?
Well, because he's got a little other job to take care of, and that's being president of the United States for right now.
Hey, then he'll be able to find the plan that he needs.
So you just bored in Toronto and just felt like calling, I guess, me for whatever reason.
Just get simple. This is called I Got the Plan. Like, you know, just give me a chance and let's see if we can work together. I can fix it in no time. I just need his power. He just needs to take that money and use it correctly. Set up a that just works for everybody and let the people of the world decide on what they want and then just make Obama do it.
Oh, I see. The people of the world. So now we have to have consider not just Americans, but the people of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, you see, the problem.
We need the support of everybody. And when we
I could care less about
the same thing. Then you know what? We have to work for each other. And it doesn't matter if all the money into, like, fixing the Gaza Strip, making people happy. It's going to help everybody. And it'll create jobs.
What is it that you do for a living, sir?
Fix the world.
You're okay. That's an interesting occupation. But nevertheless, listen.
Or destroy the world.
I don't know if you're...
How about destroy the world?
I don't know. I have no idea if you're joking or not, but let's just presume you're not. One of the main problems we're facing is that Barack Obama and his brethren have this notion that what the world thinks of us actually matters. And it really doesn't.
Why?
Why? Because we are unique from the rest of the world. What's that?
We're the troublemakers.
No. Well, I don't think the Jews who are in Auschwitz, I don't think the Jews who are in Auschwitz think we were the troublemakers. I don't think the millions of liberated Iraqis think we're the troublemakers. I don't think the French think we're troublemakers who liberated their country when the Germans had taken it over. So we're anything but troublemakers.
You what?
It's
like the cause of all the problems in the world. But it's for the reasoning that we have established everything that we want. We use you as an example. And we watch the system fall just because there are people in the world that don't have the same things. You know, we should not ever sort of accept something when it's been taken, you know, without really justifying why they deserve that. And there's people that are just reigning, and they have something, and they've just gone crazy.
Can you give us an example?
Well, like all the rich corporations that are out there, they've never been mocked.
Oh, they're the rich. Wow, you know,
money is the real.
It's amazing.
People here.
The rich corporations.
All the corporations out there that have made our abundance, you know, are there to show that there is wealth that can be made, and you can very well get stuck.
But wealth is evil, right?
But when an economy falls, it doesn't benefit anybody, especially the rich, because they have, like, bigger stocks. They lose fast and fierce, you know, like, to our dollar, they got millions that are, like, you know, and that's just money that's going somewhere, and somebody's taking it, and you're losing it, and these people are losing power as we speak, but they're getting more angry. And they're getting more frustrated because, you know what, they're going to always blame somebody. And it's going to be the banks. That's why, you know, this big payoff is there. But you find out that this is the evil that we're talking about. It's the banks. Because they're all like, but it's not their fault because everybody is, like, depending on them to give them money. So what are they going to do?
Listen, what's your position on global warming?
Let me think.
Are we warming as a globe?
Our world is sick because we are consumers. We're looking for things to make up for our
I asked you. I asked you a direct question. Do you subscribe to the concept of global warming?
Getting better, the world.
What?
It's cooling off the world.
Oh, now it's cooling off. Did you ever think it was warming?
Yeah, we're never going to be that warm again.
Okay, so then you seem to think that the concept of global warming is a nullity at this point because the Earth is correcting itself.
Right.
Okay, so there is some hope for you.
Absolutely. We've gone so far. If you only knew how far.
Well, I think so, because there was 7 inches today here in New York City on March 4th, which is an anomaly. It hasn't happened in a long time, which would indicate that the Earth is not warming as fast as people think it is.
Right. And look, money is paying for it. As the economy falls, the Earth gets cooler.
Oh, I see. I see. Okay, it's great concept. Well, I appreciate you giving us a call here at the Tom Farinello Show. We appreciate your thought. And why don't you keep listening and give us a call sometime again?
Why don't you just keep me on the line? I'll give my 2 cents every, like, you know, pretend that I'm not there, and you know, I'll just talk over you. You can ignore me.
Yeah, but the problem is I only have 3 minutes left. If you had called 2 hours ago, you could have...
Streaming in the archives. Somebody will go there. Trust me. It'll be better, like, off the air.
What's that?
I said the work will be better off the air. You think that somebody that heard my voice isn't going to go to the archives?
What? Well, you mean if I keep... But once I go off the air, doesn't it stop recording?
No, it's always going to be recording. You're just not going to be on the air because they need that spot. But don't worry. Go back to the archives. Keep talking.
I go back to the archives, but once the show is over, the show is over.
Yeah, publicly, they're not hearing live, but they can come back and do the archives, like listen to the whole show, and then they'll hear us still yapping.
So the show stays recording after it technically goes off the live
right.
Portion of the show.
There's a spot waiting. You can't take their airtime.
But well, you can hang on the line so I can close out the show for the people who are listening, and they can come back and rejoin us.
You know, come back.
What's that?
I said you can say goodbye to the world, and then you can come back, and we can chat.
But, thank you. We have what's your name, by the way, sir? Dan?
Sir.
Okay, well, we have man on the line who wants to save the world. What's that?
The she in the he.
I don't know what that means.
I'm not a man, I'm a woman.
Oh, you are? Oh, I'm sorry, forgive me. I apologize. I do apologize.
Never. Don't worry about it.
What? All right, I'm sorry about that. Some people think when I'm at my mom's house and I answer the phone, they say my mom's name thinking I'm her. So I've been there. I understand. I'm
a very low voice.
Who, me? I have a low voice.
No, I do. You have a normal voice. You just
Oh, good.
We're talking about me, not you. You're a man, right?
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Well, last time I checked. Hold on. Stay right there. Stay right there, ma'am. I will be right. Just hang on the line. That's me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have to run. This thing's going off the live air.
Back to the
archives. And now, Tom Farinello.
All right, this is goodbye to a hello. Hello, we're going to stay live if you want to. The show's not streaming, but it's still on the air. We have an interesting young lady on the line, and she is going to continue with us. And we're going to do after hours here. I thought after hours was only in New York City.
You can talk all night long.
That's right. Well, I don't know about that, but I do have to get to bed at some point. But listen, this is the after hours of the Tom Farinella Show. We have a nice woman on the line who says that she wants to save the world.
I think I am saving the world, but nobody knows it.
And how are you saving the world, ma'am?
Telling everybody that it is so stupid and ignorant that we sit here and observe step by step how wrong this existence is, because we're not working together to establish that we're all looking for the same thing. So being apart from each other, being made as an individual by God, kept from each other so we can hate each other. So you can stay over there and I can stay over here and do my thing. And then in the day, we can all do it together and hate the same things and say we all deserve the same that God wants. So you know what? Get on the works, and they're nothing to do with anything that you've ever done before. First of all, being happy, not working nearly as hard. You know, standing in a moment where you don't have to do anything but change your conception. You know, try to find something that works by just talking about it. You know, we don't have to do the production.
But the problem is that I'm just having trouble following you, because you speak in such abstract terms. There's what the hell do you mean? Say it so it matters. So there's meaning to it. You're speaking in such generalities. I can't follow you.
I'm talking in the beginning. I'm talking about, like, you know, restructure everything by coming to a center. You know, God.
But what is restructuring everything? What does that mean? Restructuring what?
The whole world. Do you read the Bible?
Yes, I read the Bible.
Well, doesn't it say that there's going to be a, you know, takedown? You know, that some antichrist is going to come in and destroy everything, rip everything down completely, stop ships from sailing, you know, shipping, you know, stupid crap from other countries, that we can't buy or sell anything, that the economy is going to fall, that you can't be of money, you know, otherwise you're going to get it, because there's no such thing as money in the day of the coming, and that we all have to do our works, and we have to be a family of God, and that we all carry a portion, and that we're all trying to find the kingdom so that God can give us what we want.
Right. I understand the Bible preaching, but that's not what my show's about. It's not about Bible preaching.
That's what your show's about.
What?
You are talking about fulfillment of prophecy. You have a crumb, little bit of info that confirms that your system that you are living by is corrupt. And it's been based on the forefathers of, that was a conspiracy that needed to be covered up, because the abundance of all the world and all of these, you know, officials that have seriously messed up everything. But
did you just insult me, or did you give me a compliment?
So that we can eliminate what is evil.
Listen, I listen to me. I am a deep, my spirituality, it fluctuates, but the information is still there. Depending upon how spiritual one is, I guess it's when you ask them at what point in life, in their life, you're talking to them. But being that is what the basis of what I'm trying to say is that the information is there. Now, politics and God, well, you know, it's a difficult topic, especially in our country, because the Democrats hate the fact that God is in anything that deals with
everything that has to do with politics right now.
So is there any world leader who's of value? Who?
God. And he's here to take over.
No, I know that. But is there anybody out there today that is actually assisting God to the point that he could be qualified in your mind as an effective world leader?
He is doing it perfectly. What he's doing is he's establishing abundance without you knowing and still having something to void. Find the foundation in the firmament.
I'll tell you what, God and I are on a path right now where I keep on going around the same damn circle.
Which?
And God keeps on taking me around the circle for a reason. Because I haven't figured out how not to get to get out of the circle. I understand how God is.
Round and round until you get
it. That's it. Oh, yes. I mean, the Jews were in the desert for 40 years because they just couldn't figure out what they were supposed to do. But
we haven't even started yet. We're still just playing in a role.
Well, we haven't started. Well, listen.
There's no time.
The problem I have is that you're not speaking in specifics. You're way too abstract for me because I'm a child of the ADD generation.
Called parables.
What's that?
Parables. Analogy, metaphors, about like a roundabout, simple, stupid. It's called Create the World of Dummies.
I have a book on DVD.
Be creative while you give me what you got.
I have my Joel Olsen.
More specifics, then I can only like, you know, appease a couple people.
Well, I can't, you won't give me your name. You won't tell me what you do for a living. So it's hard for me to assess what your experience is. What?
I'm a professional, stay at home, do nothing, but have fun.
Really? And where do you live?
Toronto.
I know you live in Toronto, in the city of Toronto.
Oh,
but do you have a home?
Yeah. No, I live on the street.
If you don't do... How do you make money to pay the landlord or the mortgage, or were you just left the house because your parents left you a house? Or what?
It's a miracle.
What's a miracle?
Like years, and I really don't know.
Ma'am, how do you pay your mortgage? Where do you live in a house or an apartment?
I'm hoping it's going to be paid by the world.
Listen, it was fun. You sound like a very nice person. Would love to hear from you again, but
we're waiting to help.
Seriously, what? I mean, how can I take you seriously when I ask you where you live, and you can't tell me if it's either a house or a apartment? And you go, Toronto is the city, ma'am.
So yeah,
Toronto is the city. Listen, I am not in the mood. I had a day today with AT&T. Talk about corporate abuse. AT&T abused me horribly today, but I didn't even get to tell the story because I took your call.
Toronto.
So,
do you want me to
Great. You live.
Address?
You live in the city of Toronto. What? Stop talking for a second.
Canada.
You live in the city of Toronto. Do you have a house?
Yes, I have a house.
Okay. How did you come to live in that house? Was it your parents' house before yours? Before it was yours?
It was my parents' house.
And so there's no mortgage on the house. It was free and clear.
Excuse me?
You live with your parents.
Well, they're dead. But I used to.
But you live in the house that your parents bought.
Yeah. I've been living here my whole life.
Great. So I would probably subscribe to this do nothing prophecy. Oh, I can't actually say that. Actually, yes, you know, I do agree with you. Since my new situation, I agree with you.
What do you agree with? I said a lot.
Listen, the bottom line is as soon as we get into the state of not having to pay for anything and everybody just doing it, it doesn't work.
It's waiting for you guys to get it together. You guys are taking your own good, sweet time.
Who? America?
Yeah, pretty much.
What are you talking about?
Or anybody that has the control of all the money. Or anybody that's trying to fix the world in some way, you know, like Obama.
He's not going to fix the thing.
I could set him up. Set everybody up.
He's gonna make
no time.
He's gonna make things. He's gonna make things 20 times worse.
That's because he's not coming up to the mountain.
Some have even proclaimed that he's the Antichrist.
Ugh, He just works for the Antichrist.
I think he works high up on the chain for the...
Yeah, he's perfect. Because you guys are for it.
What?
I'm falling for it, so you're falling for it. I'm not falling for it.
Falling for what?
Obama is working for God. I hope you see it this time around. Like Lincoln.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Obama's not working for God, man.
Yes.
I speak to God regularly, and he has told me clear that Obama is not working for him.
Obama is
everything that God has warned against, the false prophet.
No,
that's who Obama is.
Right, first.
What?
There's first going to be, like, you know, a leader that's going to have everybody follow, that's going to take down the system first.
That's the Antichrist, isn't it?
Following. But it's...
What?
System.
That's the Antichrist.
Right, but it's the system according to the body of the people.
I listen.
It's going to work for the people. But Obama
is exposing
how ignorant it is. Like, you guys should be on that. Don't blame Obama. He's just setting you up.
What do you mean setting who up?
People to expose what's been going on by you doing your research.
Okay. Well, I'm going to continue to go do my research and continue to be set up.
Don't you think that he...
I have to...
Don't you think that he can't just come in with, like, a package and, like, all these numbers if they weren't already set up before he got there? He's just the big okay master, but he's not okay with it. He's just, you know, being forced to, you know, this is what I got to do. Present this to the people. But this is all, like, you know, cover-up, bud. Another way of falling deeper into, you know, really misdistribution of, like, the wealth of the world. Like, it's all going to go to the wrong people, and it's not going to be done. Like, I mean, you don't have to do anything before you start taking money. You can't just take a bunch of money and say it's going to go to here. You have to have a plan, and it has to be okayed with the whole world, not just the Americans.
All right, then. We'll leave it at that. It's late, and I've got to get to bed because, unfortunately, I have to go into that evil world and work tomorrow.
There's a lot of leaders that are, like, involved. Don't think that it's just the states.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Again, we hope you keep listening to the Tom Farinella Show. It was very nice having you aboard. We appreciate your thought. And stay warm up there in Toronto.
It's freezing. Where are you?
New York City.
Oh, so you're cold too.
Yeah, despite the fact that we're warming, according to Al Gore.
You guys are funny. Americans are, like, so funny. They're all gung-ho. You guys are just, like, feeding off of...
Have you done any drugs this evening?
You're funny. You know that I'm half a New Yorker? Well, not half, quarter. Kind of.
I don't know what that means.
Jewish side. My grandmother was born there.
Are you? Oh, okay. I think you would be a quarter Jewish.
Yeah, but my...
If that's possible.
My mother, my father, they were... I'm sure that my father was born in New York and came early. So he's kind of a New Yorker.
Well, oh, good. That's good. And they immigrated to Toronto.
Yeah.
Was he a draft dodger?
Was he a who?
Did he end up in Toronto because he was trying to avoid fighting in the war here in New York, in Vietnam?
No, I think it's a little older than that. This is more like avoiding the gas chambers.
Well, what? There were no gas chambers in New York.
No, he came from the old country and took off, changed his name.
But he stopped in New York, had a baby, he stopped in New York, had a baby, and then went to Toronto? Okay, well, all sounds very interesting. Again, I can't refer to your name because you haven't given me one, but Toronto, we thank you for calling.
Thanks. It was really great.
What's that?
It was really great to talk.
Yes, absolutely fabulous. All right, well, thank you, Toronto. Okay, well, this is the Tom Farinella Radio Show, and we're wrapping things up because I have to get out of here, folks. But thank you very much for listening to the extended portion of the program. Thank you to my new friends here, Toronto, who told me about the ability to. Where is that? Who told me about the ability to extend the program beyond the time because it just doesn't stream, but it says the show's still on. So thank you, Toronto. Thank you. I really, you know, she sounds like a very nice lady. She laughed when I asked her if she was doing drugs. So generally, if I was interviewing a client, and I asked them a question about the charges, and they laughed, I don't know. I don't know what I would conclude. Nah, who cares? Does it really matter? At this point, I don't think it does. The only thing I think that matters is that Obama... Obama releases secret Bush anti-terror memos an hour and 56 minutes ago. What does that mean? I don't know. He really does border on whatever. Socialism. Yes, socialism. He really is a socialist, in my mind. Hold on. I'm trying to get things here. We have to get out of here. I really have to get out of here because it's very much so time to go. It's very much so time to go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very
much. And now, here's Tom Farinella.
That's me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very, very much. This is the Tom Farinella Show, the Tom Farinella Radio Program, right here on the Tom Farinella Radio Network, produced and written by Tom Farinella. Tom Farinella, Tom Farinella. All me, ladies and gentlemen, all me. If you want to go read my Wall Street Journal article, the article where I mentioned when rescue means addiction, you can go do so at thewallstreetjournal.com.
And now, here's Tom Farinella.
Oh, there we go again. I'm still saying goodbye. Oh, man. Where is the switchboard? When you need it. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. tflawyer@gmail.com if you want to give us a call. It was an absolute delight. Until next time, this is Tom Farinella reminding you, if you do not speak out, like Toronto, you'll never be heard.
And now, here's Tom Farinella.
Oh, you signed off. One more time. One more time. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tom Farinella reminding you, if you don't speak out, as Oprah would say, like Toronto, you'll never be heard. Thank you very much for listening, and I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. Actually, we're not gone yet. Let's pick a song to play it out rather than that. How does that sound? I'm just trying to find it. I don't know if they edit, I think they edit the songs out, but who cares? Let's see. Let's see. Now. Until next time, Tom Farinella, thank you very much for listening. Have a good night.
Step one, you say you need to talk. He walks, he says sit down, it's just talk. Smiles politely back at you. You stare politely right on through. Don't throw it a window to your right. She goes left, you stay right. All you do know best. Try to step out the distance without granting your time. Lay down if the blood is wrong. Make the song to roll along. Pray to God to kiss you. And pray to God to kiss you.
I can't say he's just not the same, and you're